The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. The Gift of Piety.
Reminder, our last question period will be this evening, and don't hesitate to add more questions, comments, or objections. Our present meditation is on the gift of piety. Needless to say, the English word piety is ambiguous. It is not always a complimentary word to call somebody pious. The Latin word pietas means literally loyalty to the sources of our being. Loyalty to the sources of our being. There's a loyalty of children to their parents. Loyalty of students to their teachers. Loyalty of citizens to the authorities in the state. Loyalty of Catholics to those over the years have provided them with the knowledge, understanding of the faith. But for us Catholics, although pietas as a word existed centuries before the rise of Christianity, all it basically means a loyalty of creatures to the Creator. Now the Church's theological definition of piety. Piety is a supernatural gift which inclines us to the faithful practice of religion. Piety is a supernatural gift which inclines us to the faithful practice of religion. The more we say that, we have to explain what we mean by religion. Religion is the practice of justice towards God. The first three commandments of the Decalogue are commandments of religion. The last seven are commandments of morality, to practice justice towards others. Now, as a supernatural gift, piety is the gift which inspires us to the practice of justice towards God and justice towards others because of our justice towards God. That is why the first three commandments of the Decalogue are the foundation for the last seven. You will practice justice towards others, covering the whole gamut of morality, only in the measure that we are practicing justice towards God. As I've said over the years, and keep repeating, one of the most important things as Catholics we should know is the meaning of the words we use as Catholics. Religion now has come to mean almost anything. Listen, even atheism is now, dare I say it, a form of religion. Implied, therefore, in the gift of piety is we understand what religion is. Religion presumes faith in a God who is creator. And let's be sure we know what creation means. Creation means that God made the world, including us, out of nothing. And the word is nothing. There is only one necessary being, and that is God. Everything and everyone else is, in the deepest sense, an unnecessary being, need not exist. Religion, therefore, presumes that with my mind I believe in a God who is the creator, therefore the maker of everything which exists, which, except for his loving omnipotence, would not be. And then piety is the gift which inspires us to the practice, therefore, of justice towards God. And justice towards everyone else. Because we are practicing justice towards God. Now, concretely, is still on the introduction. The gift of piety inspires us to respect, reverence everything which pertains to God. The gift of piety recognizes there are two kinds of creatures now in the world. There are what we call sacred, and there are what we call profane creatures. Sacred persons, sacred places, sacred things. They are things which somehow pertain to or belong to God. In contrast, that which is profane belongs to the world. That which is profane is temporal. That which is sacred is eternal. Now, we go back and try to clarify just what is this gift of piety. This is a gift which enables us to see God as not only our Creator and our Lord, but as our loving Father. How this needs to be said. Over the years, from the 50s now, it's the late 90s, I have been teaching and writing about world religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Shinto. And we need to recognize that Christianity, first of all, believes there is only one God. All the non-Christian religions, without exception, except Judaism, which is authentic Judaism, and Islam, if it is authentically Islamic. The rest of the world, that means most of the world, is polytheistic. Many gods. This gift of piety is founded on our faith in uncompromising monotheism. Call it one godism. However, this is the gift of piety in Christianity. Here on the heart, it is the gift that enables us to see God as not only, which already is a lot, as our Creator, as the source from which we came and keep coming. God must exercise the same omnipotence to keep us in existence as He exercised, past tense, when He created our immortal souls and infused those souls into the fertilized womb provided by our mothers and fathers. God created an immortal soul from nothing at the moment of our conception. What this God must continue exercising, I repeat, the same almighty law to keep us in existence. But that's not all. The gift of piety enables us to see God not only as our continuing source from which we came and come, but also to see God as the destiny to whom we are going, for whom we exist. How important those prepositions are. We don't even believe we came from God. We believe we exist for God. And for God as our loving Father, who is both the source of our existence and the inheritance, the heritage, the destiny of our being. How we need to believe what Christ tells us. You have received adoption as sons. Sons whereby they call and cry out, Abba, Father. God is our Father. And hear it. It is the teaching of the Church that everything in the created world, that his most important purpose is to teach us the meaning of the truths of our faith. We speak of Father. We know, humanly speaking, who a Father is. We know what a Father's responsibilities are. And we know that a Father is not only or even mainly unknown. It is also and principally a verb. You fathers are to father your children and continue fathering them not only in time, but now I say it, into and in eternity. Consequently, this gift of piety has been given to us when we were baptized to foster in all of us a filial respect for and adore God with joy. Can you respect in Latin the word for son is filius, for daughter is filia. Filio, therefore, is the adjective which describes the way in which we, as sons and daughters of God, are to react towards, respect, respond to the God who, I repeat, is our Father. Father, I keep repeating, not only as the being from, but as the being for whom we are made. As Christ tells us, he went to heaven and he is there awaiting our joining him. We are still on the what of the gift of piety. The gift of piety is to foster in us a generous love for God as our Father, shown by our readiness to sacrifice. If I were in class, I would ask you, would somebody give me the four essential parts of sacrifice? When they ask these questions in class, they turn back to their notes to remind themselves. Say it out loud. Finish the sentence. The capacity of human mind to forget is. Remember what sacrifice is. The voluntary surrender of something precious to God. That's what the gift of piety has been given to us for, to live lives of sacrifice. Sacrifice to the God who has given us everything that God could possibly give, including giving us himself. And giving us himself in the most, shall I say, dramatic way that God could invent, becoming man to give us his own flesh and blood united with his divinity as before the hour is over. Please God, make an hour and a half. You will receive Holy Communion. What does this gift of piety foster in our souls? Hear it, what a combination. It fosters in us affectionate obedience to God. Loving obedience. Over the years, from my first weeks as a novice in the Society of Jesus, we used to read once a month a letter of St. Ignatius on obedience. Well, the statement that Ignatius makes in the letter is, it is not hard to obey when we obey the one whom we love. And that's where the gift of piety provides our wills with the, shall I almost say, contradictory power of affectionate obedience. And we love the one to whom we submit our wills. One more sentence. Piety is the grateful loyalty to the source of our being. We capitalize the word source. Grateful loyalty. As we sow, love builds on gratitude. However, this loyalty not only is something which we have briefly described, this loyalty is to be practiced. Why then is the gift of piety so important? Because we need to satisfy the duties of our Catholic religion. We ought to practice adoration of God. I trust I've said this several times already. May she, you know, for the rest of your days, and teach your children, you fathers, the knees were made for kneeling. Then who says what to the contrary? In one of the dioceses in Canada, the bishop forbade all the people ever to kneel or genuflect during the sacrifice of the Mass. The missionaries of charity are told by rule to kneel during a good part of the Mass. So their chaplain related to them the decree, shall I call it, of the bishop. Being faithful to the charism of Mother Teresa, they kept kneeling. The chaplain reported that to the bishop. The bishop came and offered Mass for the missionaries of charity. Guess what? The sisters knelt. Smart member of the hierarchy. He kept his episcopal mouth shut. How this world needs to recognize there are sacred persons, sacred actions, sacred places, sacred gestures, sacred objects, sacred pictures, sacred sculptures, I repeat, I know the Holy Father well enough to say this. He is especially concerned about the widespread desacralization going on in countries like our own. I'm so happy to see, first of all, you have a tabernacle in front of the church in Chapel. Isn't that wonderful? If I were in Munich, I would say, that is wunderbar. That looked. Not only are there sacred paintings, but do you see what I see? Well, I see a statue there, and I see a statue here. The stages of the cross are still on the walls. Not so at Detroit University, at Jesuit University, all the stages of the cross had been removed from the chapel. Why is the gift of piety so important? Because believing as we do in God, believing as we also do, that there are persons, places, and things that are sacred because they mysteriously belong to God. They are therefore to venerate. Venerate the angels. Venerate the saints. Show respect for sacred scripture. Love the church. The church as the institution founded by Christ by his death on the cross. And the churches, oh, pray, beg the dear Lord to restore our churches to look like churches and not like meeting halls. Pray that our priests will look like priests, dress in their priestly garb. And you know what's happened to tens of thousands of nuns. They move their religious habits, and what's been the result? Empty novitiates. As I've said more than once, my Vatican superiors have the Vatican pulled out one large file drawer after another. All these communities in the United States, they'll disappear. The lowest number, there'll be 150 religious institutes of women in the United States. They'll go out of existence. Piety, let's be clear, is not in the emotions or feelings. Piety is a divine gift of the will. And we need to realize this, because when we pray, we may not feel pious. So what? In fact, listen to this. When we do God's will and we don't feel pious, we do God's will anyhow, we get more merit from God. Isn't that great? Because one of the norms, as we say, of merit is the difficulty we experience and doing what we know God wants. Dryness of spirit in prayer. Worry, anxiety. Clogging our minds. And yet we pray. The distractions in our prayers are meant by God to be means of making our prayer more effective. Why? Because we keep praying, even though the last thing on earth we want to do is pray. Midnight. Want to say some prayers before the Blessed Sacrament. I dare not sit down, because in a few minutes I would fall asleep. I walk up and down to keep awake. Says St. Paul. My little children, of whom Paul is in labor until Christ until Christ, the Father, is in you. And the gift of piety is indeed the practice of religion. But one of our duties in the practice of religion is to, and I mean this, to father, I was speaking of even, I would say, to mother children. I was 22 when I entered the Society of Jesus. As I've said so many times, dating a wonderful girl, where the wedding date sat. I wanted to be a father.